Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Here's Nylander in the Oilers' zone. Sharp angle shot. He scores! Here's Seabrook, right circle, fires. He scores! He's leveled by Andrew Shaw with a thunderous check. Here's a loose puck in front. They score! It's Saad. Shoots. He scores! The Cat connects with a one-timer.
It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy, presented by FanList.
Kemp kicks it to a stick in front, came over to Saad, put it to Kubalik, and shoots, he scores! His first Blackhawk goal, Dominik Kubalik! Mana there, fires, stopped in front, shot, rebound, score!
Chris Bowden and Scott King break down the latest storylines surrounding your favorite Chicago hockey team.
Welcome back to the Windy City, Andrew Shaw!
Now, here they are, Chris Bowden and Scott King.
Happy November, everyone. Well, that was a week for the Blackhawks. Welcome in to a new, fresh Blackhawks Crazy podcast presented by FanList. Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on Blackhawks Radio, WGN Radio 720, and the Chelsea blogger, the NHL.com correspondent, Scott King. A quick hello from you, Scott. How did trick-or-treating go?
Good, you know. Yeah. It's one for the books. People who want to move it, you know, because it snowed or move it to the weekend. You go trick-or-treating on October 31st. You're expected to have candy at your house for children on
how
October 31st.
How long did that trip around the neighborhood last?
Probably
that
15 weather. Minutes, you know, with our little dinosaur and our bell from Beauty and the Beast. It was fun. Good pictures.
You managed to get the costume over the winter coats, too, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. My wife, that's a must for her, and it works.
Blackhawks Crazy Podcast is sponsored by FanList. FanList is the best platform for season ticket holders to sell their tickets. Are you a Blackhawks season ticket holder who sells multiple games? Get over to FanList.com. FanList.com/Blackhawks Crazy. It's spelled FanList, FanList.com. FanList partners with multiple ticket marketplaces and list tickets for sale across all marketplaces all at once. Sites like StubHub, Vivid Seat, SeatGeek, Game Time, and many more. And they do all the work. Multiple marketplaces will increase your ticket exposure, causing tickets to sell faster and for higher prices. Plus, FanList is free to use. Registration and listing tickets are free. When tickets sell, FanList charges the industry standard 15% of the final sale price. It's the same rate that all those major marketplaces charge. There are no hidden costs or added fees to use FanList. It's the best way for you as a season ticket holder to sell your tickets. Go to FanList.com/Blackhawks Crazy to receive a $20 bonus on your first sale. FanList.com/Blackhawks Crazy. So we mentioned that was quite a week for the Blackhawks since we last did our podcast following the victory a week ago Sunday at home against the LA Kings. And you think, okay, this is a starting point. And then they go to Nashville and give up 51 shots. And then they go to out to LA. And you think, okay, here's an opportunity to get back on the wagon. And they give up a ton of shots as well before finally salvaging something against the Anaheim Ducks. And there was a lot of news in between as well. And I suppose because of the lack of positive results, the real big news came in between when the Blackhawks, Scott, finally decided, okay, Kirby Dach's going to be up for the long haul here. And then they decide to bring up Adam Boqvist. These wacky teenagers are a part of the veteran mix now. And how long they morph, we know Dach is going to be here long term. But certainly through the first couple of games, from what we've seen of Adam Boqvist, they're managing where he is, how much he plays, and in what situations that he plays. But he's looked real good so far through his first two NHL games.
Yeah, and even with Nylander, too, these kids are hanging out together. They're forming a little bond behind the scenes. I'm reading a little bit about this road trip here.
Nylander's the only one who can drink, at least in the state of Illinois.
So. Yeah. So just get that through your heads, everyone. There's no funny business. These kids are good kids. And, it's you're seeing a good mix now. We were talking before the show. It kind of feels a little like the tide might be turning a little bit. But again, those two games allowing 51 shots. And then 49 that's against ridiculous. LA, 100 shots in two games. That really has been one of the glaring problems all year is the shot suppression. And we get that high at totals. When you're around 50, it's not just guys aren't laying out to block shots. It means you don't have the puck enough.
Yeah, and this Ducks team that the Blackhawks played on Sunday in terms of shots per game. They ranked 30th in the league at 28. The Blackhawks allowed them 10 more than that.
Right.
In the previous three games, the Blackhawks, or I should say, the previous three games, the Blackhawks allowed 139 shots on goal, 229 attempts. So this is a continuing narrative that they're going to have to manage. And you saw in the game against Anaheim, when they're finally able to jump out to a lead, it was like the entire mood of the team changed because leads have been so hard to come by because of all these puck management issues. They've been playing from behind so much this season that it's been difficult to snap out of things. And, you know, after a five-game sequence there, up through the Vegas game that they ended up losing in the shootout, we were seeing some incremental progress, but then in the five games since, it started turning back the other way. It was a real struggle managing the neutral zone, getting possession out of their own zone, where all that adds up. It's almost like a domino effect with what happens to this team, and they've been struggling enough to score goals, and it's even more difficult when they don't have the puck on their stick. That was the trademark of the real good Blackhawks teams the early part of this decade, too.
Yeah, and they're going to keep fixing the shot suppression problem. That'll
let's hope so.
That'll gradually improve, you think, as other things are getting better here, and they have to, because you're not always going to have Robin Leonard being absolutely incredible behind you, and Crawford, after allowing those first two goals against LA, battling back the way he did, just incredible. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that. You and the guys had some great stuff on the broadcast about what was going on with Crawford. But a big positive for me these last couple of games, Chris, is you're getting a mix of not only Doc and Boqvist contributing, but you're getting that finally with your top guys and the veterans and Kane and Taves, two guys who had great last two games. So you're getting a good mix. And credit to Colleton, who you notice these young players a lot. So you kind of, if you're just watching and not looking at the minutes, you figure they're playing a lot. But he's also kind of keeping them away from top matchups sometimes, maybe to protect them, to protect their confidence. So I do think Jeremy Colleton and the staff's been doing a good job with these younger players.
I do want to dive into that a little bit more, but let's go back. Before we hear from Adam Boqvist, let's go back and talk about that Saturday game where Corey Crawford, after he got dinged in the face mask on that shot by Curtis McDermott, real flush. After that, he seemed way out of sorts on those two goals that LA managed to score in the first 4.5 minutes or so, I believe, before the spotter Wes McCauley and his crew decided to go over and say, hey, check this guy out based on his concussion history. Corey gave the palms up wondering what's going on.
Right.
But in all fairness, it was the right thing to do. And funny how when he came back out after Leonard got in there and made five big saves in 5 minutes, Crawford seemed like a different player after that. So whether it was just a couple of awkward moments that allowed those first two goals to come in, he certainly responded after he went down to the locker room. I don't know if smelling salts were required or not, but he was a completely different goalie and was just as every bit as good as Leonard has been through this entire season in keeping the Blackhawks in that game in L.A.
I think as with like a lot of other people, when he first got pulled, I'm like, wow, Colleton's pulling him after two quick goals. You know, goalies give up some quick goals sometimes, even to start a game. You know, first he scratched Seabrook, and now Crawford's getting pulled. And then when you kind of see some replays, he does take a puck right to the mask. And like you said, 100% the right call because of his history with concussions, and when you break down the goals and his positioning, how he looked, he didn't look like himself. He didn't look like a quality goaltender because kind of just his poise and positioning, the way he was allowing those goals, and even the way he kind of reacted after, didn't seem like himself. Seemed like something might have been going on. Then for him to get checked out and come back in the game like nothing negative happened was incredible, and credit to him, he really kept them in it.
Yeah, and when that game turned midway through the second period, when Kane, Kubalik, Boqvist, and Keith were on the ice for 3 minutes straight, the Blackhawks couldn't get possession or get the puck out of their zone. Once Corey came back in, after the Blackhawks rallied to tie, he had a run of 30 consecutive saves he had to make before the Kings went back ahead. And, you know, that sequence, that three-minute sequence when those guys were stuck in their own end, I mean, that is the horror show that the Blackhawks have lived over the course of the last couple seasons. That took it to the nth degree, a completely different extent. It's like, just get your stick on the puck and try and clear the zone, those puck management issues. But good on Corey that he was able to come up big and save them and at least help them end up salvaging a point thanks to the captain delivering in the final minute of that game.
For educational purposes, what, you're supposed to keep your shifts about 30 seconds a minute, sometimes back
45.
And forth.
when you hear Troy and Steve Conroy talk about those hellish shifts when you just cannot get on the ice.
It's like three shifts.
And Boquist was ready to, all those guys were obviously ready to drop. So a little adventure under fire in his NHL debut for Adam Boquist. But he lived to tell about it. He survived it. And then he ends up scoring the first goal for the Blackhawks on those reconfigured power play units, including that interesting one where Jonathan Toews is out there with four rookies between Nylander and Doc and Boquist as well and Dominic Kubalik. So right after that first power play expired, it was Adam Boquist scoring his first NHL goal on an absolute laser. He's been on the ice for about 15 and a half minutes each of his first couple games paired with Duncan Keith. And let's hear some of Adam Boquist as part of the scoring equation in Sunday's 3-2 overtime victory over Anaheim.
It's a dream, you know. You're always looked up to score your first goal and play in NHL, and no, it happened. So
is that something you dream about going top shelf to in your first?
No, I didn't see where it went in, but I just heard the post. So yeah, it was good to see it going.
What does that do for a young guy like you and your confidence level?
I don't know. I just got more nervous after I scored that goal, but yeah, of course it's. It's nice to get the first out of the way. Everyone want to score the first goal, and I'm just gonna keep playing up.
How much better was it that it happened in a victory as you guys needed one?
Of course it's huge first win as well out of the way. So I think we played pretty good tonight. It's a couple downs we had, but I think we played good overall today.
How do you stay focused after that and sort of get out of your mind and keep focusing on every shot?
Good question. I don't think of so much out there. It's happened so quick and everything is, it's so much in my head right now. It got called off for 4 days ago, so I'm just going to, go with the flow and,
Which one was bigger, first AHL goal or first NHL goal?
I think my NHL goal,
How is your confidence right now? Do you feel pretty good?
I felt pretty good these two games. Duncan have helped me a lot out there. Such a good teammate and guy at the bench. Of course I'm nervous and he's coming to laugh at me. And it's just a hockey game, you say. So it's nice to have him around and, the rest of the team as well. So.
Well, you heard that wacky Chris Cook with the nutty question. My old Columbia College classmate, class of 18, something like that, with the, what was more exciting, the first AHL goal or the first NHL goal?
But you guys were classmates?
He did, yeah. We were classmates over
that.
At Columbia.
I heard
great
that.
WCRX, Columbia College Radio.
Should write an but athletic story about that.
Not to digress. But Boquist, he did score his first AHL goal the night before he was called up.
That's crazy.
And to be quite honest, and he said it previously when he was called up, he was a bit surprised he was called up this early because he had missed a couple of games with an injury. He really hadn't played well. Rockford's power play was absolutely horrible the first few games of the season. But nevertheless, I think that shows some of the urgency that the Blackhawks had in trying to get something going offensively because Erik Gustafsson hasn't been doing it so far this year. The power play was in that huge funk, an 0-for-21 stretch before they finally snapped it. So looking for some answers, trying this, that, and everything, getting Boquist out there, you saw what he was capable of the last couple of preseasons in generating things from the blue line, not only in power play but on 5-on-5. But it was time to roll the dice. And so far the first two games, yes, small sample size. Yes, there are going to be growing pains. Same thing with Kirby Doc. You heard Jeremy talk the other day about he may not necessarily play in every game. You're going to have to manage his time and his length of shifts. And who knows, maybe he'll be sent to the World Junior Championships in late December and early January like Henry Jokiharju was. But this infusion of youth, and you mentioned Alex Nylander as well, We've seen him the last couple games on a line with Jonathan Toews. We saw some of that in the preseason. And Brandon Saad, who Jonathan Toews is very familiar with, playing with him a lot over the course of the last couple years and prior to that in his first stint with the Blackhawks. And you're looking for ways to get these stars who have been so slow to begin the season, get them revved up. And I think we started to see signs of that from the captain, even though we took those two back-to-back horrible penalties Sunday against Anaheim.
Yeah, Troy had some great stuff on that. Like, you cannot do that if you're the captain. And he was right.
It's 119 talking to another.
Exactly. And guys who play very well defensively or did in Troy's case. And he's right. If you take one penalty and then you're slashing at a guy's hands, they're going to call that. They call that now, nowadays. That's going to get called in. And credit to Toews for, battling back, really, after going to the box twice very close together there and having a great game and kind of keeping himself trending the right way.
There probably was a sense of determination when he took that opening faceoff in overtime as the Blackhawks won that faceoff and did not give up possession. Then he sets up Patrick Kane for the winner. But, yeah, you need to find a way to get these guys juiced up because we're a month into the season when Alex DeBrincat is sitting there at 3 goals, Patrick Kane at 3, Jonathan Toews at just 1 after all this time. These are the guys you're relying on, and maybe these different power play combinations, the different line combinations, which we'll get to a little bit during our slap shots questions as well. But you need some juice out of these guys. And the other part of this interesting week is in trying to find some answers. This all started a week ago when Brent Seabrook was the healthy scratch against L.A. He kept it another game against Nashville. I don't know who would have helped in that game against Nashville, to be quite honest. But now Seabrook is back in the lineup. We're seeing some different defensive pairings, too. So this is all a puzzle that Jeremy and the coaching staff are trying to piece together because it's been such a difficult start.
Seems like it's starting to get pieced together, though. You're starting to see guys.
Well, we say that after
jump
every
in,
win.
Contribute. it's a couple games now. It's still, we're starting to get to a bigger sample size where you need to see Kane, Toews, and DeBrincat and those guys contributing and playing well because it's not just a few games anymore. Those guys really had to turn around now.
So let's hear from the head coach after that victory on Sunday over Anaheim, and he touches on a number of subjects, not only particular to the last couple games here of this road trip, but in general about Boqvist's impact through his two games, the shot that he has, Toews' weekend, having Alex Nylander playing with Toews, and how Nylander has come along and trying to mesh his way in as part of this mix. The improved penalty kill, which has taken, thankfully, a step up. Robin Leonard's impact on that, but he begins his comments after the win over the Ducks by just talking about the relief of getting a win and how long it felt, even though it had only been a week. It almost seemed like it was a month. Here's Jeremy Colliton Sunday night.
We've had a lot of things go against us, it seems like, particularly that home stretch where I thought we played pretty well. We just could not seem to, put it together as far as results go. And ultimately, those points are what allow you to kind of breathe easy and gain a little confidence in your game. So, we can play better. We're not, it's not like we think we were outstanding tonight, but, we got some points in the bank and hopefully we can build on that and play a little easier and have a good effort on Tuesday.
It's got to feel good for Adam Boqvist to get his first goal.
Yeah, he's been really good. And obviously he does bring that dimension to the power play. He can finish. He's a great release. His movement is fantastic back there. We could have scored in overtime too last night. So clearly he's having an impact on the game. But I think defensively he's been quite good. We feel pretty comfortable with him out there. And obviously we're trying to protect him when we can. But he's made a really good impression so far.
What makes his shot so unique?
It seems like he can release it at any point. It's a quick one, but he can also hesitate and change the angle, and he doesn't need to be a one-timer for him. He has that in his arsenal, but he can just kind of zing it in there, and I think it's difficult for goaltenders.
After taking the two penalties in the third, did Toews feel a little bit more determined than usual? He seemed like he was really score quick there.
I'm sure he wanted to make a difference in the game. That's the type of player that he is. I think he had an excellent weekend. I think both games he was very, very noticeable on the puck, hunting the puck, making a lot of plays out there. I think those two games are the best he's played.
Are there moments when Leonard makes a save where even you from the bench are just like amazed at, that he made that? And
yeah, he's good. He's a big body, and he, for such a big body, he moves really well. So he can he definitely can make those spectacular ones, and just gives our guys confidence. He was big tonight.
Robin had a really good explanation of why the penalty kill is better with him. With him in there, he plays differently than other goalies, you said, as far as his positioning. How big is he on a penalty kill as far as turning that thing around?
Yeah, well, he's been good. He's had a good start, obviously. Seems like every start's been quality for him. I think the penalty kill's been getting better and better. I mentioned it earlier. I think we had a pretty good start on the kill. The pucks are just going in the net. So nice to see our guys. They're gaining confidence. I think when they go over the boards to kill the penalty, they feel they can do the job. And they're not, you know, of course, we don't want to take penalties. But as a killer, when you feel confident, you're almost excited about the chance. You know that's your time to help the team win. And obviously for him, you know, he's a big part of that. But it was tough to give up the one tonight after I thought we were excellent for, you know, the first four, whatever it may be. But I think that's been a positive for us.
Taylor's line has been noticeably different the last couple of games, at least possession-wise. What difference is Nylander and Saad made?
Yeah, I think Saad and Nylander have been two of our strongest players, I think, all year. So they're just kind of picking up where they left off and being really, really strong on the puck. I think, you know, Saad, you know, he's kind of has that reputation, you know, throughout his career that he's been that guy to be able to carry the puck and be heavy on it. And I think I said before, I think his puck decisions have been fantastic this year. Really does a good job of gaining lines, and he's still dangerous, but he does it safely. And I think Nylander, for you know, it is basically his first year. I think he's shown a lot of heaviness on the puck, very heavy stick. He still, you know, makes young player mistakes at times, but he's shown he can be someone we can count on.
When you're rolling overtime, it's three future Hall of Famers at the Sonata. I feel pretty confident in that.
Yeah, and you know, I think all of them were good in the game, so you feel pretty good that they're going to find a way to get it done, and that's what they did.
There's symmetry in seeing the young kids score first goal, seeing those guys kind of push it off.
Yeah, well, I think that's where we're at as a team. We got some young players coming in who are extremely promising, and they're getting better and better, and they're feeling confident that they can play in the league and contribute to the team. And that's how we're going to, in the end, I think, turn this is the combination of the old guys still getting it done and the young guys taking more and more responsibility. That's kind of the league. And, you know, there's going to be growing pains here, and we've had that, no question. But I think the young guys are playing pretty well.
Now we are anxious to see if the Blackhawks can finally build off of that. Do they have a couple wins in a row this year? I'm not sure if they do, but they're going up against the San Jose Sharks team that is simply miserable so far. They can't find their way out. They have a 5-game losing streak. I think they've lost something like 7 of 8. They're in the middle. This will be game 3 of a real important 6-game homestand for San Jose, which ended up spoiling the Blackhawks' regular season home opener. In that wild back-and-forth game, 5-4 was the final score. But now San Jose, they're down something like 4-10-1 right now, and it's going to be important with, you know, the positive feeling that the Blackhawks have to hopefully build off of that, take that into the Shark Tank on Tuesday night, and keep a team that's really down. Put your foot on their throat, so to speak, not to get too graphic or gory here at the time.
Please, Halloween's over.
Post-Halloween with anything like that. But the importance of keeping a team down, taking advantage of that before you head home for a pretty important game on Thursday night against a Vancouver team that surprised everybody else, there certainly has to be a level of urgency to control play from the outset Tuesday night in San Jose.
Yeah, and here's a sense of how the season has gone for the Hawks. Here we are, first week in November, the only time they've won 2 straight games, going back to October 14th and 18th. 3-1 win at home versus Edmonton, and then a 3-2 win at home versus the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and that's when that Columbus game wasn't their greatest, but that's when they put together that 5-game sequence where you were starting to see improvement, gradual improvement from this team before the 5 games prior to Sunday night's game in Anaheim. It all seemed to be slipping away from that and really causing some great concern. Everything isn't fixed yet. We'll see how this team responds Tuesday night against the Sharks.
Slapshot questions. Tweet your questions to the guys at Boated Tweets and at Scott King Media for your questions to be read on the podcast.
And we have a huge, massive, overwhelming response this week to our hashtag Slapshots. questions from our audience. We want to thank all of you for remaining involved and listening to the podcast and giving us some more material here. So, yeah, we had multiple people here and a lot of the same type of questions. So let's get around to this. Heather on Twitter has a couple of questions for us. What do you make of Carpenter and his role so far? And how long can this lines in a blender approach last? Well, I think that's going to be the case with any NHL coach. We say, Joel, do it. And until you start finding consistent answers and something that works, I think we've liked what we've seen so far through the combinations this weekend. Now it's a matter of gaining some consistency and learning how to, you know, if these combinations can learn how to manage the puck and not get back into what was the second period on Sunday, or rather Saturday night in Los Angeles, I think, you know, perhaps we'll start to see some consistency. Saad, Taves, and Nylander deciding to put DeBrincat, Strom, and Kane together. If they can get the puck, hold on to the puck and not let the opponent steal it away, because then you may be facing some defensive issues there. Kubalink and Camp back together with Kirby Dach. That's a huge, sizable line. And then with Ryan Carpenter, yes, he's taken a couple penalties this past weekend, but I continue to say he's been a solid addition. You saw him give Strom and DeBrincat a little bit of jump a couple of Sundays ago against the Kings. And, you know, he slipped a little bit in the faceoff circle here over the past week, but by and large, you know, he's a huge part of the penalty kill when he's not in the box himself. And he's one of those subtle signings that isn't a big splash, but something the Blackhawks need. And I think, you know, he's been a solid contributor, and hopefully, you know, he provides a little bit more here moving forward too.
Yeah, definitely. Just being at some of those post-game pressers, and sometimes I'm with the opposing coach with my NHL.com duties, you always hear Colleton talk about Carpenter. And he's not always asked directly about him, but he always works in how solid he is, his two-way game. Like you said, the penalty kill, he'll do the dirty work in the corners, he can play a little physical. He's a guy who's done it all, and he's still kind of flying under the radar, maybe in the grand scheme of things, but he's a very dependable player. I think he's done a lot for the Hawks.
Steady, providing some of the just those subtle things that are necessary in each team's game. You have to have a couple of players like that. And I think we've seen, you know, David Camp's game gradually improve. But when it comes down to nuts and bolts, you're going to need your stars to deliver, which they haven't been doing consistently enough so far this season, and that thus the line blender, and then moving these other kids into the mix and seeing how big of a factor they have. And that kind of ties into some of our other questions. We have Brandon want to know who gets scratched when Connor Murphy returns to the lineup. Brad also asking, along with Jen B., do they keep Boqvist up? And Brad, why with Boqvist seemingly fitting in well, what are the chances he stays once Murphy is healthy? I think Connor has at least another 4 games to serve on his 10-game injury assignment. And I don't know if, you know, I don't know if Connor Murphy is necessarily a savior for this team, but we noticed once he was paired with Duncan Keith how much better this team played overall. And yeah, we have a small sample size so far with Adam Boqvist, but so far in the small sample size, he has given the Blackhawks more than what Erik Gustafsson, quite honestly, has been able to deliver throughout the course of this season. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, we see Gilbert sent back. He's been a healthy scratch the last couple of games. Slater Cuckoo has to scratch and claw for his playing time, and I don't know whether, you know, what he has done so far has warranted a regular spot in the lineup. He's a good number 7 guy to have. Has he proven he's more than that? I'm not so sure. But as long as Boqvist keeps delivering like this and isn't exposed too much defensively, I see the kid, staying up here. And you heard him talk in our previous clip about, you know, what an impact Duncan Keith has had on him, too, being paired with him.
Yeah, very small sample size, 2 games for Boqvist, but he has showed that he improved his defensive game a lot. As a D-man, that's where the Hawks want him to. That's where Colleton wanted him to. And the fact that he sniped on a power play like that when they've been struggling on power play all year so far, he kind of looks like a bit of a savior, at least on power play, and dependable with the fact that he's improved his defensive game. I see him and Murphy both playing in games at the same time.
Yeah, I do too. And then it becomes interesting because, you know, Murphy and Keith and DeHaan, if you throw Boqvist into that mix, Olimata, who we'll hear from in a minute, I think once he and Seabrook were fairly solid the first couple of weeks of the season, and now Mata's been paired with the likes of Cuckoo, on Saturday in L.A., Gustafson Sunday in Anaheim. He had a little bit of a difficult weekend. I think he was a -4 combined, -3 on Saturday night. But, you know, he is going to stay in the lineup, too. So some interesting decisions to make. But, you know, it's all about proven playing time. And I think some of these guys have played themselves out of trustworthiness in terms of earning that playing time as well. Brad also had another question. What do you think what is the identity of this team now versus what we thought at the start of the season? I think that's an ongoing process, Scott. That answer remains to be seen. I think the identity that Jeremy wants to put his stamp on, and it's just kind of unfortunate. I even asked Troy this question on the pregame Sunday before they finally got out of there with a victory. But with all these issues carrying over to this season from last season with puck management, sloppy decision-making, and how it impacts this team defensively, Jeremy ideally wants to get a puck quickly, take it in transition, whether it's carrying the puck up yourself, that's something that Boqvist can do real well, or passing it through the neutral zone, making good decisions with the puck and providing more offensive opportunities is, I think, the vision Jeremy wants. It hasn't happened so far, and because they've had issues doing that, it's reflected poorly on some of the numbers of the superstars of this team so far, too.
Yeah, and just more generally, you expect them to score a lot last year. So I think you want part of the identity to be a team that can score a lot, put up mm-hmm. a lot of goals with the offensive talent they have and with the moves they made, that can play well defensively. And you knew heading in they have two great goalies. You maybe need a little more from Crawford, but he certainly showed that battling back last game. So I think a team that can score, that can play well defensively, and it's got two great goalies behind him.
Yeah. We talked about this all summer, ever since the end of last season. Can we necessarily expect the same type of season statistically from Taves and Kane and DeBrinket and Gustafson, who was a big factor last year? So far, we've had doubts been raised because of the performance the first month. And first things first, this is a process where they have to fix all those issues in their own end in the neutral zone before they can find answers to that. And I mentioned also last night on the postgame show, there were three games this season prior to Sunday where the Blackhawks had two goal leads. Only three other times this season. What it's like to play with a two-goal lead is something totally opposite of having to chase the game all the time. I think those three games were against Winnipeg that they ended up losing in overtime. The other games, I'm trying to recall what they were. The others ended up resulting in victories. But to be here 12 games in prior to Sunday and have only three other instances where you had a two-goal lead, it's a completely different game and a completely different outlook and energy you have when this team can play with a couple goals.
We were talking before the show, just that having that feeling of winning a game is seemed like it's been so few and far in between this season that just, you know, is going to give so much more confidence heading into the next game and heading into the rest of the season and just with your game in general, if you can string some wins together. So hope that can translate a little more as well.
We mentioned Olimata a moment ago. This is, again, Hockey Fights Cancer Month. We had the first part of our interview with Eddie Olchek, who is the NHL ambassador to Hockey Fights Cancer, and did such a great job, more or less, hosting the Blackhawks night two Sundays ago when they hosted the LA Kings. We'll hear the second part of that conversation with Eddie O in a minute, but Blackhawk, like Brandon Davidson last year, like the vice president and general manager Stan Bowman, and any number of other people in this Blackhawks organization, like all Blackhawks fans, have been affected by cancer. Olimata was a cancer patient 5 years ago, heading into his second year in the NHL, and he was one of the lucky ones where it was diagnosed early. He had a very brief recovery time, and things have been good. That's part of our conversation I had when I managed to catch up with Ole. This was actually a couple of weeks ago, looking ahead to Hockey Fights Cancer Month. And we touched on a number of subjects with Ole, including the fact that he is a two-time Stanley Cup winner already. By the way, he's going to be going into Pittsburgh on Saturday night to face his old team, the Penguins. But we talked about things he didn't know about cup-winning teams until you actually experience that, some important things that are overlooked. We also talked about his battle with cancer. But we began our conversation before we got to that about how he adapted to coming to Chicago, how he got the news, and we visited with him during the Blackhawks convention. He shared that story. We'll circle back to that. But also, for the most part this season, being paired with a three-time Cup winner in Brent Seabrook. Here's Olli Maatta.
Well, he's been around for a long time, right? You know, he knows hockey well. Like, he's a really good hockey mind. I enjoy being around and playing with him. I'm just trying to get as much information out of him as I can. Just, and he likes to talk. Obviously, he's a funny guy, but hey, likes to keep it light, but when the game time comes, he gets serious about it, and like it's fun to see.
And we talked in the summer at the convention during our podcast about how you got the news about being traded to the Blackhawks. What was your reaction at the time? And you're overseas at the time, right? It took a little while to find out and kick in officially.
Yeah, I did. Obviously, with the time difference, it's not easy. I was sleeping at the time and woke up. Actually, I looked at my phone and it was just blown up. And you know, you got this kind of a bad feeling in your stomach that something's happening right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a pretty crazy day. A lot of phone calls, a lot of hassle. But when days went by and more I talked to people, I realized how good of a place I was going to.
Mm-hmm. And then, talking about the other type of news that you got heading into your second year in the league, and you were just reporting to camp, getting those physicals going, and you know, you got the news about the thyroid cancer. I mean, did you have any inkling that anything like that could have potentially been?
No, not really. Actually, not at all. I didn't think I felt any different. I really couldn't notice anything that was going on. I was actually feeling really good going into the season, and just found a lump in my neck, and we thought really nothing too much out of it. Just wanted to check that what it is and that everything's good, and I ended up getting a biopsy on it and ended up being tumor, and it's just shocking news. But I think in my case, I think it shows how big part early detection plays and how good of a doctors we have here, and I was lucky.
Yep. How scared were you at the time? I'm sure everyone was saying, we caught it early, everything's going to be fine, but until you get that out of your system, I imagine there's a lot of apprehension and a lot of fear.
Well, yeah, I mean, first time when you hear the word cancer, I think you always get scared. It has something to it that you don't wish to anybody, and when you hear that, you get a little scared. But like in my case, more time went by, more I learned about what type I had. Like, mine was really easy. I mean, I just felt better and better about it. Obviously, it's not ideal, but like mine was a simple procedure, got in and out, and then just playing with the medication, and that was it. So I can't compare what I went through, what other people are actually going through with more serious type of cancers.
Yeah, I imagine that there's a sense of feeling fortunate that it wasn't anything dragged out long, 6 months. But is there still any follow-up process that you have to go through?
Yeah, you go through annual checks just to make sure that nothing comes up, and obviously check the blood work, that thyroid's working fine, and if it isn't, I got a lot of people helping me here to fix and kind of play around with the medication, and that's it.
You reached the pinnacle of this game at a really early age, winning those two back-to-back Stanley Cups in 16 and 17, but what did you learn through that entire journey, that process of winning two Cups, about what teams need that you maybe didn't necessarily know prior to that?
Well, obviously, when you look at the teams that win, they're not necessarily the teams that have been really good or winning the regular season. You just have to get caught in the right time and have your game on that level at that playoff time. I think that's when you look at St. Louis, you look at those Cups you won in Pittsburgh. I think I've been talking to Taser here too. We chatted a lot about it, and he said that felt the same, and same in Chicago. I think that's a huge part. So it's more about the process during the regular season. You're trying to build your game, trying to get on the same page and keep improving every day. That's so important. And you just can't stop that process, because that's really important.
Finally, you'll be heading back to Pittsburgh here sometime soon. I'm sure you're aware where the schedule lies. How weird do you think that's going to be going back there?
Yeah, that's going to be a little weird for sure. But I think it's just going to be fun at the same time. To see him playing there again, and to see old buddies. But I'm actually really excited about that.
That's Blackhawks defenseman Ole Mata visiting with us a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sure he is looking forward to going into Pittsburgh and seeing how he can fare against his former mates. By the way, the Blackhawks have been very good in recent years against the Penguins. Sometimes you have these matchups where, for whatever reason, one team just has the upper hand over another. And despite Pittsburgh being great over the course of the past decade plus, like the Blackhawks have been, the Blackhawks have had good success against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They'll match up against them on Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Speaking of cancer, we mentioned that we began our conversation with Eddie Olczyk on our last Blackhawks Crazy podcast, where a lot of serious stuff was talked about in terms of his recovery, some of the things that he faced, the importance and the impact he's feeling as the NHL's ambassador for Hockey Fights Cancer Month here in the month of November. But we still have a little bit of the conversation to finish, and we have some lighter stuff to talk about as we finish things up, including his recurring dream that became reality that he mentioned in his memoir, Scott asking him about that. We also were happy to discuss some good family fortunes that he has had since his recovery about a year and a half ago. But we continued this conversation when Scott asked him about whether he always had in the back of his mind to become something he is today, and that is the best hockey analyst there is around.
I think I always respected the job, and I was always a sports talk radio listener. I think I realized at a very young age there's an opportunity to be able to sell the game, sell yourself if you're out in front, whether you're winning or losing or you're playing well or you're not. But I kind of always felt that at some point that my life would post hockey would probably end up in TV or radio or broadcasting. So I just think that the way kind of saw how things were going and being there and not trying to be an attention getter or anything like that. It's like, look, if somebody wants to talk to you and you're a good quote, well, you know, it's not only going to help you, but it's going to help the brand, it's going to help the team, and it's going to help the game. So I just kind of always thought that I would, you know, eventually get into the media racket.
Unlike Troy, who was miserable as a player after losses, forget about approaching Troy. He was a beauty. In the year or so since you've gotten the great news, there's also been great news with your family in this game, your brother, your son. A lot of things going on.
Yeah, it's been real positive. I mean, my oldest son, Eddie, got married a year ago this past August, and it was actually a year to the day that I got diagnosed with, you know, stage 3 colon cancer. So he's happy. He's coaching up in Minnesota, assistant coach with Bemidji State, Go Beavers. You know, my son Tommy just retired from playing hockey, and he's going to be a CPA. My daughter's happy in the advertising world and the auto industry. And then my son Nick left Colorado College. He's doing a little moonlighting at NBC Sports Chicago and helping the guys in the post and the pregame with their telestrators and their graphics. And he wants to be a broadcaster like his dad. So he gets the opportunity to work for the Indy Fuel this year as a color man on their internet and radio broadcast. So he's going to work with Andrew Smith down there. So life is good. Diana Olczyk. As well, I should say there's two Diana Olczyks because my mom's a Diana and my wife's a Diana. Both Diana Olczyks are extremely happy, and when they're happy, then the real Ed Olczyk, my father, and this Eddie Olczyk are happy as well.
Just to give people a taste of the book, you know, everyone can identify with probably having a recurring dream or nightmare. Yeah. And yours was about getting to your first game. Can you give us the cliff notes on the skip there story?
Yeah, I mean, I had this dream as a kid about being late for my very first NHL game, and I had this probably when I was 12 or 13 years old and wake up in a cold sweat and, you know, scared to death I'm going to be late. And once I got drafted by the Blackhawks, his dreams seemed to happen over and over again. And then during training camp, my rookie year in 84, Skip Thayer, our longtime medical trainer, I told him about this dream. I shared the dream with him that I was running late from – I woke up late from my pregame nap. There was traffic on the Dan Ryan because I was coming from Palos Heights. They wouldn't let me in the old parking lot at gate 3.5 at the old stadium. Spider, the security guy there at the gate, wouldn't let me in because Eddie Olczyk was already in the building. And by this time, now I'm nervous and I wake up. So I shared the story with Skip, goes, dreams don't come true, kid. Don't worry about it. So I'm like, okay. So I come get ready for my first game against the Detroit Red Wings in the NHL, first game. And coming down, driving down to Dan Ryan, everything's great. A little bit of traffic, but I'm there lots of time. And then I hit a big traffic jam, and now I'm like starting to get a little worried, like I'm going to get be late. I pull into the old old Chicago Stadium, and then the guy puts his hand up, and like this, I'm waving to him, and he's got his hand up, like, no, stop, roll down your window. And I'm like, what? I've been coming here for the last 6 weeks for preseason and exhibition games. He goes, who are you? And I go, I'm Eddie Olczyk. He goes, no, you're not. I go, yeah, I'm Eddie Olczyk. He goes, nah, you can't park here. And I'm like, now I'm starting to think about this dream I had. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So he finally, after about 2 minutes, he says, all right, go ahead. You got to go to the gate, and they'll figure it out. I'm like, go to the gate? I'm like, so I walk over to gate 3.5, and then there's Spider. I go, hey, Spider. He goes, who are you? I'm like, who am I? I said, it's Eddie Olczyk. He goes, he's already here. Now I'm like, I'm like a psychic. I don't know if they had the Mega Millions or Powerball at that time, but I probably should have went over and played. So after about, I said, just call the locker room and whatever. So he goes over there. He calls down to the room or whatever, and I said, no, Eddie Olczyk's already here. I'm like, so I had to pull out my ID, just like in a dream, and the whole nine yards. And finally he says, all right, go ahead. So I walk down the, and I'm flustered now. Like, I'm sweating. I'm like Casper. I'm as white as a ghost. I walk downstairs, and as I walk into the old Chicago Stadium locker room, I walk by the training room, and I looked at Skip. I said, hey, Skip. And then he goes, hey, kid. And as I'm going, he goes, hey, kid. And I kind of walk past the door, and I back up, and I look over at him, and he goes, do you have any problem getting in tonight? And I said, you bleeping. So as I've told anybody, that, and I say it in the book, I said, anybody that knows Eddie Olczyk, the quickest way to get on the wrong side of me is to disrespect the trainers. Because I love those guys. Those guys are the lifeline of a hockey player. But the one thing I learned in my rookie season is that just be careful what you share with the trainers, because they might come back to bite you in the backside. And that's one of those things you just can't make up.
Real quick, you described your first goal. Did Troy get the secondary assist on it?
Troy got the secondary assist. Yeah, he got it back to Femur. Femur shot the puck wide, and it was a really important goal against the Red Wings. I think it was the seventh goal in a 7-3 win, I think, that night. So they don't ask how. They just ask how many. And I was able to bury it in the back of the net, and to be able to accomplish that in my hometown for my favorite team in my very first game was I could still see it. I see it, like, you know, when Kirby Dach scored the other night. Right. And then somebody sent me a graphic about, you know, guys' ages of scoring goals and whatever. I just, like, I still see the play develop. I can see everything. Keith Brown grabbed the puck and Brownie gave it to me, and the fans were chanting my name. It just seems like it was yesterday, and I know it was 1,000 years ago, but something I'm super proud of, and to be able to play my first game with the Hawks and actually score a goal in my first game.
Again, always great catching up with the great Eddie Olczyk, the stories he can tell, and especially props to the training staff, because they work endlessly. Those are the guys, the equipment staff and the training staff, those are the lifeblood of NHL teams. Other guys get the spotlight, other guys get the blame. Those guys are always there. So kudos to Eddie for giving them a shout out, and again, always great visiting with, and I'm sure hearing from Eddie for you guys from a listener standpoint. Okay, there was something else you wanted to bring up before we signed off here today. You tweeted something at me the other day.
I tweeted at you.
With a photo. Tell me.
Well, look, it was a really big deal to people who enjoy fast food that Popeyes was finally coming out with a chicken sandwich late in the summer. I think it was late August. So, like a lot of people, I wanted to try it. Drove to Countryside.
Wait, Popeyes is a chicken place. They never had a sandwich?
Never had a chicken sandwich.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, drove out there when the craze was going on, pulled up to the drive-thru, ordered it, and the gentleman told me back then, while we're out, we're not going to have any till November. Like late August.
Scott.
I think that's what it was.
Scott,
not September.
Scott looks up to the sky and shakes his fist in anger.
I was not a gentleman. It brought out the worst in me. I had made my little trip there. I was looking forward to having it while listening to the radio. I wasn't kind, and I regret that. And
wait, to the guy at the
to
window?
The guy at the drive. I lost my cool.
Okay.
And I don't think I said anything
too, we have
too bad that I regret.
Police,
I might have had a tone. No authorities were called. But finally,
Just in time for my wife and I's 7th wedding anniversary, I made it to Popeyes. I did the mobile order.
If that's not an anniversary present, I don't know what is.
We did go to Gibson's the night before after the Baby Shark show in Rosemont. So we did that for our anniversary. And I also,
if that ain't living, I don't know what is.
I wanted to make Popeyes a part of it too. So finally tried the sandwich. I got myself a regular and a spicy. It was fantastic. All the running outs, handling it like complete fools, didn't matter. It really lived up to the hype. It's bigger than any of the chicken sandwiches. It had very fresh, two fresh big pickles, like the kind you get in a grocery store. A fantastic ranch sauce. I don't like things that are overhyped, and I was still very pleasantly surprised with the sandwich. Spicy too.
Two sandwiches in one sitting.
No. To be fair, you know I can be a bit gluttonous, but that was not the case. I saved some.
You had to get your running in between those two sandwiches.
I saved some for my wife and my daughter. My wife acted like she was above it, and then she wanted a second bite later. My daughter loved it.
Now tell me about the spicy though, because I hate perspiring while I eat, and I'm a real vulnerable sweater, if you will.
Yeah.
So. is it that bad? Although, you know, you may have a higher tolerance for the spicy.
I'm not one of those guys that brags about eating spicy. Those guys, you know, throw that around. I like things that are spicy, not too spicy. And that's how their chicken was, when you can just order like a couple pieces of chicken tenders or a dinner. They just put a little spices on it to make it a little spicy. That's how the sandwich was. Not too spicy.
I first discovered my vulnerability to spicy foods at the old Ed DeBevick's. They had something called an atomic burger there. So I decided to try it. This was, you know, the first time I exposed myself to something like that. And I'm not sure if I was married to Natalie then, or we were just going out, but I think we were just going out, and she probably was not very impressed with the fact that I took a couple bites and perspiration was just streaming down my face. So
you were a sweaty mess.
I'm not really good. I'm not really good with that.
Probably had to change clothes after that
at Ed DeBevick's. And I ran into the same problem when I was down in New Orleans covering some sporting event. I decided to go, you know, jambalaya, and I needed to change of clothes after that too. So.
Oh my God! You can't
need the Under Armour. Need the Under Armour to soak up the perspiration.
Just bring a bunch of what is it? Milk is supposed to take the spicy taste. So you bring your own gallon of milk to the restaurant.
Just pour ice water over me or something like that. All right. Well, good to hear. I don't know if I'll try the spicy or not, but
I think I'm going to go back.
Now,
to
are
that.
You? You're not trying to push Fan List out of our Blackhawks Crazy podcast?
No, of course
sponsorship.
No, I enjoyed Popeyes, but they do not help us out. We do not have a partnership with Popeyes yet.
Okay. Throw that out there. All right. Well, we hope this wasn't a tough sweat for you listening to this edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We want to thank all of you for listening. Thanks as well to our producer, Curtis Koch, for pasting all of this together, as well as the dulcet tones of Ernie Skatton on our opens and closes and our introduction to hashtag
Fans
slap
like
shots.
Them. They're going crazy
they
for
do
them.
Like it. They do like Ernie's voice, as I always have as well. And we always like you listening. Again, we encourage you to subscribe to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast on what do we got? There are multiple options to do that. We also tweet out the links. And for those of you wondering, the next one will come in another week. We have the Blackhawks in San Jose Tuesday. We have the Blackhawks returning home to face a real surprising and impressive young Vancouver team on Thursday for that trip to Pittsburgh. And then the Toronto Maple Leafs come to town. Will we see Kaner and Austin Matthews have their dueling I can't hear you gestures? Man, that was a great game last year.
It was a great game. And Kane's just calling him out for being silly.
Yeah, we'll see if we get that kind of roller coaster ride. Blackhawks, let's not have the roller coaster ride this week. Let's continue to have a nice steady climb. No ups and downs as we have these four games, and we'll talk to you after that as well. Again, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you next Monday.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter, @BodenTweets and @ScottKingMedia.
That was great!